Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadosh, is daf Samach Beit, and we got down to Heid Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam Mishum Rabbi Yochanan. So what we've been talking about is the relationship that we have with the things of an Am Haaretz. The last thing that we spoke about was the question of how much we're going to be matir working together, even though there might be a chashash of tumor, might be a chashash of giving something that is not kosher in the sense of not having been meisert. And all of these things were part of mipnei darkei olam, so that we do things that we normally wouldn't allow in order to have the world continue to proceed. There may be some question about whether there's a general din. Are you able to derive one aspect from the other, because the mashmaut is that each one of these takonas is a particular takona. Now, there's all types of issues, you know, that come up all the time about mipnei darkei sholem. This is the question of, can you simply judge an issue and say, since it's mipnei darkei sholem, we should be matir it automatically? And that would mean that each one of these things is just simply sort of like a listing of their acharets, or was there actually a minui to be matir these things? Let's see if we can find any rise to that question, because I mean, there are many, many, many contemporary issues that relate to the mipnei darkei sholem issue. And obviously, as you can think of yourself, just about every family is going to have those kind of questions. Okay, so we got up to today. Heid Rabbi Yossi ben Hameshulam Mishum Rabbi Yochanan Achiv Shama Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Chasma. So we discussed things that you could do with an Am Haaretz. The question over here is that if you've got, remember in those days you had professional workers that would deal with different aspects of the kind of things that we sort of take for granted you can do yourself. So it used to be, and this was fairly recently, certainly here in Eretz Yisrael it was quite common, it used to be that it was extremely difficult before people had appliances. It was extremely difficult to do grinding yourself. It was extremely difficult to do baking yourself because of the fact that you could make maybe a cake, but you didn't have an oven to put the cake into. So there would be somebody on the block, and you would pay them to handle the actual baking. Now, certainly when it comes to kneading bread, which, again, before they had these machines that do the kneading, kneading bread is a very, very difficult job, and especially if you're making a lot of bread at once. So there used to be professional gablanim, professional kneaders. And certainly when it came to things like the preparation of olive oil and so on, I mean, that people don't do on themselves hardly at all. Those are large-scale projects, and you would need someone you'd bring your olives to, and that person would crush the olives for you. So the question is like this. In a lot of these kind of situations, you're going to have the individual who's doing the work is going to be taking off when it comes to the bread, preparing the challah. And when it comes to the olives, he's going to be preparing the truma. And in all of these issues, if an Am Haaretz brings it, you're going to have the question of tuma. Because if the Am Haaretz had already prepared the dough for you and just brought it to you to like finish the kneading and to take off the challah, then that means that that dough was already tame, because he was already nogea. We consider a chover considers an Am Haaretz to be, by definition, that's part of the takanas that were made, that he would have a din of tuma. So the question is like this. Can the Am Haaretz, who comes to the professional gablan, the professional kneader, and he asks them, make my challah, it should be done the tahara. So since apparently he already touched the dough, the gablan can't do that, because that's going to make the kohen think that the challah is tahora, thinking that the entire process was handled by the gablan. And in this case, it was actually tame. So he cannot take off the challah b'tahara for him. But if he brings him the entire flour and has never been exposed yet to water, So then at that point, if he's going to do the entire process from beginning to end, from the time that it becomes Moksha Lekabel Tuma, then he can actually make the Isat Chulav Betara. So he can make the dough from him from the beginning. He can make an entire, and then he can take off the challah, which would be still tahor. Then he could put the challah into something that's not makabel tuma, such as a kvisha or an anchuta. Tosfos seems to learn that these are pshutei kli eitz, as you could see from Tosfos. And Rashi understands these to be apparently broken pieces of like what used to be a leather cleat to hold wine, and now it's all worn out, so it's not makabel tuma. But whatever the case is, it's a cleat that's not makabel tuma and that has the additional virtue of never being a normal thing that he would have used himself, this Amaretz. We'll see why that's important. And then when the Amaretz comes to take the dough, he can even take the challah with the dough, and he does not, meaning he, meaning the chaver who's doing the work over here, he does not have to be cheshesh that the Amaretz is going to come into contact with the challah, and the challah will then become tuma, not tummy. That doesn't make sense. Why in the world would he not? Not the Gemara is going to see. There's another thing that is very similar, which seems to be so similar that it's mamish, the same halacha. Eino sim trumat zeitav betara. So let's say you're bringing your olives, and they are ready for pressing. Now, normally when they're ready for pressing, so then that would mean that he's already put his olives for a while into the mata'in. You remember that this was a container in which the olives would gradually oxidize, would heat up, would become soft, and would start already leaking oil. So it means that they were already mukhsha lekabel tuma, similar to the case of the dough, where you would be bringing him dough that had already been mixed by the Amaret. And here, too, we have the same case. If he's going to bring it over to the individual who's doing, that's called a badad in Hebrew, the presser. So if you're going to bring it to the badad, then the badad is going to be taking off truma that the Kohen may assume is tahar, since the badad is a chaver. But in this case, it is not tahar, because lemaisa, it was already touched by the Amaretz, and according to the chaver, the Amaretz is tame. But what you could do, it's exactly the same case. If he brings you just the raw olives, before they've been prepared in any way. So he can then give it to a badad, and the badad can do the whole process from beginning to end. So he can make the zeitei chulav betara, and he takes off of those olives sufficient, which is kedei truma, and then he puts it into he puts it into the kelim. It seems to be saying, but it doesn't make any sense. We're going to correct the impression, but it seems to be saying that he puts the tohar, truma, into kelim that belong to the chaver, and that therefore they will not be tummy. And that then, when the Amaretz comes and he offers it, then you're allowed to take his boost. I mean, you're allowed to take his even truma, which looks like it's going to become tummy. If he takes it, you're allowed, for some crazy reason, which one's going to have to explain, you're allowed to give him even the, not only the oil, but you can give him the truma, which was tahar, and you don't have to worry that the Amaretz is going to be matami the truma. So why is this? I mean, I understand that we're saying that this is a din, one of the important dinim, of Mipnei Darkei Shalom. Can you explain why they would say it's okay to have these kind of open relationships between the Amaretz and the worker who's a chaver? V'taim amai? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, it's mishum kedei chayav de gabal, mishum kedei chayav de badat. Point over here is that basically these people are not exactly raking it in. So if you're talking about a gabal makes very little money because there's very little skill that's involved. He doesn't really need any kind of special tools or anything. So in order for a person like that to be able to make a living, then we make this part of the interrelation. Now, this is very fascinating, you know, because is this Mipnei Darkei Shalom or is this Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam? So it's fascinating that ultimately we know that society needs these gablanim and needs these badadim. So we need the people that are going to be doing this work. And that's, in that sense, there's a tikkun of society. The modality through which we're going to be able to maintain this people's parnasa is by saying, Mipnei Darkei Shalom, we continue to have relationships between the chaverim and the Amei Aretz, even in areas that normally we wouldn't. So that means that there's sort of a blurring of gvulot over here between the overall concept of Mipnei Darkei Shalom and the modality of Mipnei Darkei Shalom as it's applied for a particular tikkun that we need, which is fascinating. So anyway, there's just a fascinating also machlokas over here that is nogei at this point between Rashi and Tosfos, because the way I've explained the Gemara to you right now is according to Rashi, namely that if the Am Haaretz has had an opportunity to actually be metame the Isur, to be metame the olives, so then the Kohen is going to think that it's Tahar if it comes from the Gablan or from the Badad, and it won't be Tahar. But that would mean, says Tosfos, if that's the Pshat, that if you would take off the Truma or take off the Challah from another place on it, and it would be done by the Gabal, that would be okay, because it was only because he was metame it up front, right? And that is certainly not the mashmos of the sugya. It's mashmos, you cannot take the challah off for him. So because of that, it would mean, according to Tosfos, you could not take the truma off for his zesim if he asks you to. He brings you the oil already done. You cannot take challah for, even from tar. Cannot take challah, which is such a reasonable thing, right? You're going to go, you're going to bring your stuff to this chaver, and you're going to tell him, look, I know you don't trust my dough, and you don't trust my oil, so what I'd like you to do, take off your own oil for truma, that's tar. Take off your own dough by being mitzarif it in a way that's not matami, like we had back in the Mishnah, and then you take off kosher challah. That's what it's mashmah. Even that's not mutter. So why would that be? Tosfos learns that the meaning of these two things is that because there is not much money to be made in it. That's the point. In other words, since the whole issue of here was a tikkun, Bipnei Darkei Shalom, to allow an income, as we're going to see, that these people have very poor income, so because of that, this would not be kedai to be, why should we be matrit for a guy who's too cheap? He does all the work himself, you know, and then he just wants to come to the chaver to do like the last thing. So he's going to pay him a half a buck to do that. He's not going to make a living out of that. So because of that, we were matrit. So Tosfos learns the entire issue from beginning to end is financial considerations, as opposed to the way Rashi is learning, that it's how far we're willing to go to be matir tuma considerations. Okay, anyway, fascinating difference in how long this sugya. Yeah, let's go back now into the Gemara and see the details of why we would need two different cases to tell me Mishum Kedei Chayav. So we need two Kedei Chayavs. One is Mishum Kedei Chayav de Gabal, and one is Mishum Kedei Chayav de Badad. And it's not the same. Vitzricha. Because let's say we would have known that there's such a halacha by a gabal. A gabal is very poorly paid. A badad isn't poorly paid. The problem is that he's got an extremely seasonal kind of income. Because even though it's nafish agre, so the gabal, I would have thought, yes, the badad, no. But if you would have told me the badad, I would have said, he's got income only like during those few months a year when people are actually looking for his services. But normally he doesn't have any kind of income, no shiachle. So because of that, maybe we were matered for the badad, but not for the gabal, because the gabal at least has a steady income, even though it's a poor income. Therefore, we need to have both heterim so that we should know that both were essential. And we could say that afal pi kein, that it's establishing rules for the Mipnei Darkei Shalom. We don't have to say that it's specific cases necessarily once we have the Tzrichasa, right? So we don't have a proof about the issue that we raised earlier. Now, the question is, how does this work? Omarma, you said that it's okay to take off challah, then to put it into a kli that's not makabel tuma, and that is furthermore not something that the Amoraites would normally use. So it's a Kvisha, an Anchuta, we mentioned Tosfosist, who holds it Pshutei Kli Yeitz, Rashi learned it's Beloi Kalim from apparently Or, and then Kishubo Amoraits Litol, he can take both of them, meaning both the part that's for himself and the part that's for the Challah, and the Chaver does not have to worry. Eino Choshesh. Why? What do you mean, Eino Choshesh? He's so liable to come to touch the Challah. So, Leichesh Dilma Nagaba. Why aren't we afraid that he was Metame the Challah? Ah, you see, that's because when he leaves the store, before he leaves the store, we give him an instruction sheet, you know. This is the way you need to treat the product that you have just picked up. As you know, you brought this product here in order that it should be mutter to eat and that you shouldn't be chayev misa, bidei shamayim, for eating it. Now, this product has been very carefully produced according to the strict standards of tahira and sanitary rules. If you touch the challah, it automatically turns back into teva. And then if you eat it, you'll be chayev misa. Gosh, it says it right there in black and white. The guy's going to be scared out of his wits to touch it. So because of that, he won't touch it. Now you say, but he won't remember. Sure, remember. Because it's wrapped up in this crazy material, which is, gosh, what the heck is that? You know, so that's protective wrapping. So we say, note the protective wrapping to make certain that this doesn't, this horrible catastrophe doesn't befall you, you know. So, okay. So between the constant reminder and the warnings of a death sentence, if he touches it, that much we can rely on. Okay. Well, I mean, why should we think that he cares about this death sentence? Maybe he doesn't give a hang. And, oh, that's ridiculous. Why did he bring it here in the first place? I understand. He's bringing it here in order to be able to get rid of its din of teval. So that he clearly does worry about. Then the next case. We said you could take off truma from the olive oil and you could put it into the kelim of the chaver. And then when the amaretz comes, he can even take the truma. So litol litol et shtehem. And here too, eno choshesh. But why? Here we have to be choshesh. Lechesh dilma nagaba. I mean, I understand that the case you said over there, where it's wrapped in this special wrapper, so bishlabasa by the gabal itle hekera. So over there it has a special seal. But hocham, hayakera isle. How in the world is the Amoritz going to remember, even if he doesn't want to touch it? I mean, it's just, as far as he's concerned, just another jar of oil. No. It means you put it into special kind of kalim that he would never use, which are kalim that are not mekabel tuma. Now, we couldn't have simply used the same words we said before, because as Tosis points out, those kind of kalim are not liquid proof. You couldn't use it in a kfisha or an anchuta. So, okay, so what would be the equivalent idea for a liquid like olive oil would be to use klei aglalim, klei avanim, klei adama. So these are types of kalim that would never be mekabel tuma. Okay, they may never be mekabel tuma, but, I mean, why did we say that then it's the kalim of a chaver? It's not the kalim of the chaver. It could be even the kalim of the Amoraites. If you're telling me that these are not only not mekabel tuma, but they're also kalim that he would never use normally, usually uses, like, you know, a glass, little nice holder for his olive oil. He certainly doesn't use these weird kalim that are never typical kalim in the house. But then why did you mention that it has to belong to the chaver? No, you misunderstood completely. It didn't mean that it belonged to the chaver. It means a kalim that a chaver is allowed to use even in the house of an Amoritz. Remember we had that whole question of can he borrow, and we were worried over there about the shaila of whether maybe something could become tamei betumas meis, whole discussion with Hillel and Shammai. Fine, so that is why we refer to it as kalim of the chaver. It doesn't mean he owns it. It means these are the type of kelim that the Am Haaretz knows that a chover can use in his house. That's the point. Okay, the next thing that we said was that mipnei darkei shalom, we are also allowed to give a chizuk to the goyim that are working during Shvius. Now, what exactly does that mean? A chizuk means like we could actually give him a hand, like if he needs help, we can help him hoe, we can help him shovel when he's doing work on Shvius. Is that what we hold? Is that true? Eskmar Machziki? I thought Rav Dimi Bar Shishna Mishmeidu Rav said, you are not allowed to work with the goy. And you can't even say shalom twice. You can't say shalom, shalom, which is often done, because since the whole thing is only a heter mipnei darkei shalom, we're only matir what is absolutely necessary. The Mishnah doesn't mean that you can actually work with them. When it says you can be mechazik them, it doesn't mean physically mechazik them. It means you can psychologically mechazik them. So, all you need to, that's mutter, is tell them, you know, be strong, chazak v'yamatz, like Reb Yehuda. He used to say, achzuku. Reb Sheshes used to say in Aramaic, asharta. You know, okay, that's the idea, but of course you can't work with them. Ve'en koflim shalom lo ve'ko chavim. You don't repeat the word shalom twice. Again, over here, the issue over here is not to say hello. The issue is to say shalom, because shalom is, remember, mishmosef shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very chosh of a bracha. So if you're going to use some other thing to say, the guy's going to be very cognizant of the fact that when it comes to Jews, you always say shalom, and for him, you never say shalom, you know? So that is why we're a matarit, but you don't have to double it. You don't say shalom, shalom. Rav Chisda would make sure that he would first say shalom to the guy before they said shalom, because if they would say shalom first, the norm was to say shalom, shalom. You know, like we do, somebody says shalom to you, you double it. So he didn't want to double it in order not to be over on this. So because of that, he would be mocked him to shalom. And Rav Kahana, he used to say shalom lemar. He used to say shalom to Mar, meaning my Rebbe, not you. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says, that sounds a lot like Geneva's Das to me. I mean, you're talking to a person, looking him in the eye, and you're saying, shalom lomar, and he thinks you're saying, you know, oh, shalom to you, sir, and you're thinking about your Rebbe? Doesn't sound very honest to me. So therefore, Tosfos learns that the pshat is, shalom lomar means shalom, sir. Exactly what it says. But in order to avoid saying shalom, shalom, and avoiding being magdim shalom, so if he said shalom, instead of saying shalom, shalom, he would say shalom, sir, which is also a very sweet kind of responsive, more than just shalom, but it wouldn't be being kaifal, the word shalom, as Rosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's just his approach. Okay, the next thing that we had in the Mishnah was shalim bishlomam in general. Now, I mean, obviously, if you're even allowed to say achzuke, that's during Shemitah, and every year you're not doing anything wrong. So, shalom b'shlomo miboy, I mean, he's doing an isser. So over here, there's no isser involved. Why would it be a problem? Omra v'yeva, this means even on a holiday. So even though, like, maybe it's New Year's Eve or Merry Xmas or whatever, you could still say shalom. Even though they might be so enamored of having been greeted by a Jew, you know, season's greetings, shalom, that they may go into the church and say, it's been a wonderful day for good old Yashka Pipik, you know, and give special thanks to the sweet Lord. You know, the Jews are also that. No, you don't have to worry about that. And even Biyom Chagam, you'd be allowed to make them feel good. The Tanya. Lo yikanes adam lebeito shelo v'kechavim v'yom chagogo v'yiteno shalom. You're not allowed to, like, give them really a lot of simcha, you know, come in and dress up like you're bringing shalach manas on Xmas or something. That you can't do. But if you meet him outside, mitzao b'shuk, you can give him a shalom, but don't look like it's a merry shalom. Notin lo b'safar afa uv'chovid rosh. It should be more like a Tisha B'Av kind of shalom, same lashon that we say, you respond if somebody doesn't know, exactly the same lashon we say, like Abedinim of Tisha B'Av. We've had this Gemara, this next Gemara we had before, but over here, it's Nogea, our Sugya, in a special way. So remember that Ravuna and Rav Chista were sitting together, and Gneva passed by. Remember, Gneva had caused tremendous problems with Mar Ukva, and in the end, unfortunately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had him spirited away and killed by the government and so on. But he was a big Talmud Chacham, but he was a big Bar Machlokas, and it didn't give cover to Mar Ukva. So anyway, Gneva was passing by. Remember, Rav Huna or Rav Chista one said to the other, we should stand for him. I mean, he is a Talmud Chacham, you know. And the other one said, what? You stand up before a person who causes machlokas? Bikame, palga, nekum. I don't stand up in front of people like that. I don't give a hang what kind of Talmud Chacham he is. Meanwhile, Gneva comes over to them. And he says, Shalma aleichum alche. Shalma aleichum alche. Same lashon that we found, actually, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saying to the Aspasianis. Interesting. So there's a double shalom that is given to a king. And he was treating the Talmidei Chachamim as a king. You remember, they asked him before, and we would go over the sugi again. So where do you get the idea? Here we're bringing it in terms of the idea of Kaifum Lashalom. So we were Kaifum Shalom to Melech HaTalmidei Chachamim. So he said, we pointed out earlier, and we had this, we pointed out that it's amazing that Davka Gneva, that they was the one who wasn't being Mechabed Marukva, he's the one that's the mocker of the drosha that Talmidei Chachamim were called Malachim, which the Rambam brings, Bi Malachim Im Malachim. So you see that they have a din of a Malchus. Omrulay, and how do you know that you're supposed to say Shalom Alecha twice to a Malach? That I learned out from Rav Yudam Arav. He said, so we have the beautiful pasuk over here when Amasai was he met up with David, and it says over there, Ruach lavshat Amasai Rosh Hashalishim Lecha David Imcha Ben Yishai. Shalom, shalom, lecha. Then he goes through the same thing. Shalom, lezrecha. And so on. So David accepted them and actually made them Rosh Gedudim. But it says over there that he said shalom. It was api ruach HaKadosh. Amrele. So they said to Gneva, Lita Marmide, would you like to have a cup of coffee? Amar lehu achi amar rav yudah merav. Asur lo la'adam shitom klum. You're not allowed to have anything. Ad shitin ma'achala behemto. You have to first feed your animal. Once your shor has had a nice hot cup of coffee, then you can have a nice hot cup of coffee. So shenemar v'nasati esav b'sotcha livemtecha first livemtecha v'hodar v'achalta v'savata. We've got a slow ritchie this morning. Ah, here we go. V'hodar v'achalta v'savata hadrin alach perek anizakin. Thank you for the enthusiasm. So now we are actually going a little bit backwards, because remember we had earlier, before we discussed the Inyanim of Mipnei Darkei Shalom, we had the Perek of Ashaleach Get Liishta, which talked about the Dinim of Shlichus. We interrupted the dinim of shlichus, fascinatingly, with all of the prokim of the different types of tikkun olam or mipnei darkei shalom, right? But that was, in a sense, as Tosfos says, that was an interruption, because we had gotten onto the topic of the whole problem that we needed to be metakein because of Darkei Shalom that could come out of canceling Gittin with Shlichim and so on. So we went into two full prokim that had to do with Mipnei Darkei Shalom. But now we're going back to the main topic that we had started, and therefore we're continuing on with the din of Shlichus in Perek Hitkabel. Okay? That's his logic underlying the structure here. So, ha'omer hitkabel get zel ishtis. Before we begin, let's recall that we have two different types of shlichut when it comes to a get. And in detail, we have more than two. But the two basic types of shluchim is a shliach to be mekabel the get on the behalf of the woman, and a shliach to be molich the get on behalf of the man. So now the question is, can a woman also appoint a shliach to bring a get, which would be sort of a shliach laholacha, but in her case it would be called a shliach for hava'a? The Rambam learns, absolutely yes. There are many Rishonim who disagree, and we're going to see how the alternatives are to learn in this parak. But first, let's just take a look at the difference between the two. If a woman is appointed someone to be mekabel the get for her, then that would mean that the moment that the get would reach the hand of the shliach, it would be too late to change your mind, because that shliach is the equivalent of the isha kegufa, so to speak. On the other hand, if a man made a shliach to be molich a get, until the get actually gets to the hand of the isha, so he could always change his mind. That's how the whole thing started when we're talking about changing your mind about getting. So the question, I mean, when it would come to a man responding to a shliach kabbalah, if he accepts the shliach kabbalah as a shliach kabbalah, then it means he's already given the get. But suppose he tells the shliach kabbalah, why don't you just take this get to my wife? Does that mean I don't want you to be a shliach lekabbalah? And I do not have in mind giving you this get. I'm not intending to give this get now as the get. The get shall be called the get when it's delivered to the hand of my wife, and not to some second-rate postman. That is not a shliach for me, you know. We had that whole discussion whether it's considered to be a bizoyan that she sends a shliach. If he sends a shliach, that gets him angry. And so we had all of these psychological components, which are always part of the unfortunate getting seen. So now we want to talk about the interrelationship between the response of the Baal, the words that he says to shliach, and how we view that shlichut after that response. So suppose somebody says hitkabel get zel ishti. Now, a man cannot say hitkabel get zel ishti, obviously, because since, remember, we decided long ago that it is considered to be a shlichus where you're delivering a gift. Yes, that's called bezakin la'adam shelo b'fanav. But a get is not considered to be a gift. And because of that, unless she appoints someone, we would never say zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav. So if the man says to somebody, why don't you accept this get? That's a joke. He can't make a shliach to accept the get. So we'll see what this is supposed to mean when we get to the Gemara in detail. But if he did say such a thing, accept the get for my wife, or he said to shliach, bring this get to my wife, he can change his mind until the get actually gets to his wife. How about if a woman tells a shliach, hitkabel li giti? So then, if the husband went along with that and delivered the get to his wife's shliach kabbalah, it's too late. He cannot change his mind. And im ratzel achzor, in such a case, lo yachzor. Now, what if he would have said, beferish, now hold on a minute. You say you want to accept this get for my wife? I don't want you to accept the get for my wife. I want you to take this get and give it to her. So, lefichach, im amar lo haba'al, efshi sheitekabela ela holech v'teina, so then that shliach becomes a shliach loholacha, in which case, if the Baal wants to change his mind, he can change his mind until such time as it actually arrives in his wife's hand. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, af omeret toli giti, im ratza lachzor, lo yachzor. So if she says the lashon, not hitkabli, but just take my get, that is also considered to be a shliach loholacha. So what the additional point is here, we'll see in the Gemara. So Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Avi l'Rav Ashi. Now look, we had a whole discussion before, remember, about whether hoylech is kisri or not. Great details about was it meant to be the equivalent of being zeuche in the thing that I'm giving you, or is it only to move it along? Well, it seems that we have a raya from this Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that the only reason in this case that he is able to have chazora is because of the fact that in actuality, she was not mashva, the shliach lekabbalah. He was mashva, the shliach lekabbalah, and there is no such thing. And therefore, it boils down to halacha. So, taima de lo shavite I shliach lekabbalah. But suppose she had, in this case, she had told the shliach, I want you to be a shliach kabbalah. And not that the husband was the one who made the shliach lekabbalah. So then, even though all he said was, take this get to my wife, apparently he wouldn't be able to have charata. Even though the only words that he said was, Heilech get zele ishti. Apparently, what does that mean? That rotzel achzor lo yachzor, shema min alhelech kisri. Even though he said, take it, bring it, he didn't say accept it. Saying those words is the equivalent of saying, you could be zochet it for her. So doesn't that prove the whole issue we talked about before? No, says the Gemara, now. Because really, maybe the reason that we have this case is not for the diak that you just made. Maybe the point is that Heilach is lav kisri. You know, the reason that the Mishnah made up this case is not for you to say, oh, so apparently if she had made the shliach, no, that's not our point. The point is that I would have thought that in a case where he said, itkabel get li ishti, I might have thought that that is not a get at all, even if he gives the get to the wife. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Not telling me that the Chiddush is that since he said, Hailuk, it's the same as Kishi, but rather, I might have thought, the Baal cannot create a Shliach LeKabbalah. Makes no sense. How, it's not up to him. So halelu ba'al lav ba'al shavya shliach lekabbalahu. So in a case like that, where he said, you be a shliach kabbalah for my get, even if he brings the get and hands it to her, it shouldn't be a get. Afagav de mata gita liyada lo lavigita. Kamash balan, that's the big chiddush of the Mishnah. That when a person says, hitkabel get zele ishti, he doesn't mean that he's crazy and he's trying to make him a shliach lekabbalah. He means, why don't you take it to her? Meaning, this is the most that I can do right now for her. So you take it. Accept it, meaning accept it by bringing it to her. And it does not mean that he's making the mistake of thinking to make a shliach kabbalah. That's the point of the Mishnah. But you certainly cannot say, well, why the Mishnah make such a case if it were not to teach us the din that Heilach is kisri? Not true. There is a chiddush here. Okay, fine. Can I move on to the next piece in the Mishnah? The next piece in the Mishnah said that if a woman did say, she amra hitkabel giti, so then if the husband wants to change his mind, he cannot, okay? Now, I mean, I'm assuming that this case is an expansion of that opening case, meaning I don't care what the husband said. The husband could have said either of the lashonas that he said in the reisha. Either he said hitkabel or he said holech, and either way it would be okay. So fine, if that's the case, if in either way it says okay, then that means by saying Heilach get zele ishti, if it was to a shliach that the woman had made a shliach kabbalah, Heilach is kisri, okay? So fine, you don't like the way I learned it out of the first part. Learn it out of this. No, you can't learn out of this. How do you know that the two cases in the Reisha are meant to be automatically applied to the case over here where he took it from the Shliach? He gave it to the Shliach Kabbalah. Maybe it's only referring to the case where he said, Hitkabel. And if he had said Holech, then he never said accept it. If he says Hitkabel to a Shliach that his wife had made a Shliach Kabbalah, obviously that's good. Okay. How about the last case? Tashma. Lefichach im amar lo habaal. Okay, what are you going to do with this case? Man, I got you here. If he says beferish to the shliach, no, I don't want you to be a shliach kabbalah. Go bring her to get and put it in her hand. So then if he says, efshi shet kabbalah, I want you to take this get to her and give it into her hand, that then imrat salachzor yachzor. So obviously, the only reason that he can be chozer is because he went out of his way to make it very clear. I do not want you to be a shliach Kabbalah. Read my lips. And therefore, it's mashma, but if he didn't say those words and he simply gave it to him, that it would be enough to say, okay, take it. That's the case. He says, holich, take it. So apparently, here we go. You ready to go along with me? Clearly, in this case, imrat salachzor lo yachzor, because he didn't specify. And again, shma mina holich kischidami. How do I have to go through so many steps to persuade you of something so obvious? So, do we have a raya?
No.
I mean, no. No. I mean, you're right. It does say holachet. But, you know, I mean, maybe it doesn't mean exactly holach. Maybe it means halach. There's a big difference between halach and holach. Holach means you take this tour. Walk a tour. Halach means here you go. Take what it is she said you should do. Halach. Okay, fine. Here, take it, right? So maybe there's a girsa that says halach. I don't know. It's too much. Just that little, you know, space between the bottom of the yud and the bottom of the vav to make a diyak that halach is chi. I'm not ready to go along with it. So maybe not. Maybe it's talking about halach. Okay, now, getting to the question of making these kinds of shluchim. So remember, we darshan from the pasuk v'shilcha mibeto, that the words, he could make a shliach, because it uses the lashon of a shilach, and v'shilcha, al tikri v'shilcha, ela v'shalcha. So she can also send, meaning that she can make a shliach kabbalah. So we shouldn't think that the pasuk is makbid only on the direct and immediate mesira of the get, into and from. Okay. That was a special lima that we had to gabi the dinim of gittin, that shlichut applies. Now, once we know that shlichut applies, however, we have this general din that a shliach can be a shliach for something that that individual can do. But a shliach cannot be a shliach for something that he is unable to do. So, I mean, can a husband receive a get? No. So maybe a male cannot be a shliach for Kabbalah. Can a woman give a get? No. Okay, so then if there's no v'natan biyada on the part of a woman, so then maybe she also cannot be a shliach to actually be molech a get. So that's what I'd like to know. So obviously, once the Torah was marbe that there's a din of shluchim, it's clear to me that a male can certainly be a shliach lo halacha because he himself would be able to deliver a get. So a baal is molech get lishto. Furthermore, it's clear to me that a female can be a shliach lekabbalah, because a woman would be mikabelet her own get miyad baala, and therefore, if shlichus is mutter, she could be mikabelet a get on behalf of another woman. But my question is, can a man be appointed by a woman to accept the get, and can a woman be appointed by a man to be molech the get? That's my question. So, ish lekabbalah, ve'isha lo'olacha mai. Tashma. Well, look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, ha'omer hitkabel get zeli ishti, o holech get zeli ishti, imrat salachzar yachzor. Ha'isha shamra hitkabel igiti, then imrat salachzar lo yachzor. I mean, isn't it mashma that the Mishnah is talking about the same individual? I mean, that we see that the same individual could be the person that the woman said to be mekabel the get, or he could be the person that the man said to be molech the get, and like it's all the same, right? We're just changing who said what. I mean, we're not all of a sudden changing the individual to whom it said, are we? So apparently, it doesn't make any difference. Ma lav echad shliach shma mina kasher lekabbalah kasher laholacha. It ain't necessarily so. It could be talking about Shnei Shluchim, and maybe we're actually talking about two different people. And therefore, we don't have to bother explaining to you, but if you know that that's the din, so fine, put in the words yourself. Okay, the end of the Mishnah. How about the end of the Mishnah? Lefichach, im amar habal, I absolutely do not want you to be the one that's going to accept the get, but you can take the get and give it to her. Now, over here, it's definitely the same person, because he said to that person, I don't want you to be the Shvir Kabbalah, but I do want you to be the same guy that's going to be Melech. Okay. So here, for sure, it's the same guy. So, Hachachat Shliach, Uvishmamina, Kashela Kabbalah, Kashela Olacha. His initial Shlichut consisted of being a Shliach Le Kabbalah that she had appointed, and now the husband is saying, I want you to be the Shliach for Olacha. So we can definitely figure out one of the issues from here. Pshot mina, that a man can be a shliach lekabbalah, because you say, well, I mean, it doesn't define the sex of the person. Yes, but if we're only able to fully conclude that it's one sex, I'll tell you which sex it is. It's got to be talking about, if we only have one, a raya to one, it's got to be talking about that he is a male, and that he is okay to be a shliach kabbalah at the same time that he could be a shliach lolacha. Why? Because that makes sense. Because there is one case in the Torah where a male actually receives a get. Where is that? For a bat ktana. So the av who was mekabel the kedushin is mekabel the gitin for a bat ktana. That means that the Torah gave him a yad for kabbalat gitim. So okay, if we have one proof, then we'd have to limit it to the case of the male being either the shliach lolacha or shliach kabbalah, but I still don't know what would be the din of an isha for bringing the get, just for the holacha. What would be the din there? Tiboy, my, what's the din over there? Amramar, you know the answer to that. That's a brilliant answer. Remember that we had before, the Mishnah said, Beferish, that women that are never believed to say a testimony that your husband died, they are believed lavi et gitas. Remember, you're talking about your tzora, we're talking about your mother-in-law, you're talking about your yavama to be, those cases where the women hate each other and would do anything to make sure that this person is out of their life, so they could be lying about the death of a husband. But they are believed to say b'fanai nechta, b'fanai nechta, with a get. Why does the Gemara say? Because there's an actual get there and so on. Okay, but over there, forget about the details. The point is that we're talking about bringing a get. Ne'amanot laviyat gita. But these are all females, mother-in-laws. They may seem like males to the poor husband, but they really have a chazaka to be females. So they're all females, and nonetheless, they are going along and bringing the get. So there's your proof. Atamolachayi. Om Ravashi, you know, the truth is that it could continue reading there, and you'll see even more of it. That Mishnah said, even a woman for herself can bring her own get. Now, remember, we said, well, what was that supposed to mean? What do you mean, bring her own get? I mean, if it was given into her hand, then she already got the get. So why was she bringing the get? So remember the case over there was that the husband said, bring this get to that bezdin. It's not yours yet. It becomes a get when that bezdin will hand the get over to you. So we said over there, she could say fanai nechtam on her own get, that whole deal. So that case where Aisha atzma meviat gita ubevachi tzicha lomar b'fanai nechtav ubevanai nechtam, and we explained the case that the only way it makes any sense that she didn't already receive the get at the moment of the actual placing it in her hand is that he made her a shliach l'holacha, ukimna b'holacha. So from there we also learn, shmamina, that the halacha is, an isha is able to be a shliach l'holacha. So now we know both halachas, any of the sexes can be a shliach for the other in order to be either maybe the get in terms of halacha, or to be mekabel get in terms of Kabbalah. Tomorrow we'll begin the interrelationship of the different shlichiyot that might have been given to the same individual and how they interrelate. Okay, so we've begun the continuation of the perek Hashaleach, essentially, as Tosafos explained it.